How's it going, everyone? It is the first episode for my podcast, and today I am here with a very special guest. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Miss Winfrey, and I'm a social studies teacher here at Warren.
Well, welcome to the podcast. And I've heard from a few people that you're very addicted to Avatar.
I say all the time, if there is somebody who likes Avatar more than me, I honestly don't want to meet that person because I know I am insufferable. So yes, addicted is probably an understatement.
Okay. And first off, let's talk about the premiere that happened last night. So I don't know if you want to speak about that.
You guys, listen, like I said, nobody is a bigger fan of Avatar than me. I have been anticipating this premiere for 5 years is how long we've known about it. They've been developing it. We've been getting little bits of info. It was everything that I could have hoped for. I went in with hopes, but not expectations, if that makes sense. Every single one of my hopes was fulfilled. They did make small changes from the animation, but the changes weren't so dramatic that it changed the show, if you get what I'm saying.
I do.
It's so amazing. I've seen the animated version 11,000 times, but that live action one was like something brand new for me. So it was really cool to be able to experience it almost for like the first time again. It was amazing.
So you said that you've seen the animated show multiple times, correct?
Yes.
What was probably like one of your favorite episodes from the whole show?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard to say just one. Lake Laogai from Book 2, definitely a good one. The Boiling Rock from Book 3, that's a two-parter. Oh my gosh. And the Blue Spirit from Book 1, I mean, come on, where we see Zuko and Aang kind of together for the first time. Amazing. Chef's kiss. There's other ones that are amazing too. Blind Bandit, they're all good. They're all good.
Okay. So here we have what we're going to talk about is pretty much like 6 underrated scenes. And I want to see if you're able to guess where from which book and or what episode it's from.
Okay.
So here we have the first one. It's going to...
Let us travel to the Earth Kingdom capital as one tribe.
Oh, this is the Great Divide.
Great Divide.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably like one of your favorite parts in that episode.
Okay, now listen, the Great Divide is not one of my favorites, but honestly, my favorite part of that episode is the very end when Aang lies to both of the tribes, and a lot of people don't like that episode for that reason. They're like, well, that's kind of immoral, like Aang's supposed to be honest, so lying was really not cool of him. But if you're an Avatar nerd like me... And you've read the Yang Chen books. There are two books about Avatar Yang Chen, the air Avatar before Aang. And she was a pretty crafty woman. I mean, she used spying, deceit, and lying. So, like, that episode, I think, is really cool because it creates, like, a connection between Aang and Yang Chen that you don't even know until you read the books. So, I like that part. Do I like that episode? Debatable. But I do like that part at the end.
It's the same for me. When I saw that part and like where they were both getting together, I was like, okay, so Aang is like very honest, truthful and everything. And then towards the end, when he makes the smirk and everything, where he's like, he lied and all that. It was just like, he's the Avatar and he's supposed to be honest, but he's over here like lying and stuff to people.
But it's like, no harm done. He lied and one side was fine with it and the other side was fine. So at the end, I mean, the issue got resolved. So... I mean, hey, that's his job. He did what he was supposed to do.
100%. So here we go with the second part.
Yes, this is the Pentapus things. This is Return to Omashu, Book 2.
Okay. And what was probably like favorite part of that episode?
Oh, hands down, best part of this episode is when it's revealed that Bumi can actually still earthbend. Even though he's in that little prison, like that part is so funny. Yeah. He's such a troll. I love that episode.
My favorite part was the part that was just playing where it was Sokka was there like teaching him how to be sick, and then the old man was there like groaning and everything, and then he was like, there you go. And then it's like the old man was like, years of experience. And yep. then he just shows his leg and everything.
Yeah, his little peg leg. Yes, that episode is so funny. And in that episode, Azula interacts with Aang for the first time because that's when she kind of pops up. Like, she's just now entering as a main character in that season in book two. So that's a really good episode. Oh my gosh. And we meet like May and Ty Lee, all of them. We get everybody that episode. So that's a good one.
And what was your thoughts when you first saw Azula in the episode? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Oh, I knew she was about to be a problem. To be honest, I am not an Azula stan. Listen, I respect her. She's definitely an amazing bender. She's definitely an evil genius. But I am not an Azula fan. I mean, ma'am, please go to therapy. Like, please work that out because you are just wreaking havoc, girl.
And what are your thoughts on his brother throughout the show when they start introducing him more and more throughout?
Which character?
Azula's brother.
Oh, Zuko?
Zuko.
Love Zuko. Love Zuko. I mean, his character development is one of the greatest character arcs ever written. Like, not just for television, but for any piece of media, if you ask me. And watching his development and seeing all of the parallels between him and Aang, it's so interesting how they're almost like foils of each other. Like, they both represent the same thing, but their journeys are almost polar opposites, you know? Zuko is just so complex. I love him. That's someone who went to therapy, and he was all the better for it.
Okay, so here's the third scene. This is might be a little bit more difficult for you.
Let's see.
Get out.
That is Zhong Zhong. This is Aang trying to find a firebending teacher. Wow, what is the name of this episode?
I'm the Avatar. It's my destiny.
Ooh, I know
what
it's book two.
Oh,
is it?
A fish lives yeah, it's book two. This river, does he know the river's destiny? No.
It's not the firebending masters. That's book three.
They follow where it flows. But he cannot see the
It's Zhong Zhong's nickname.
He cannot imagine the ocean.
Okay. But it's the Avatar's duty to master
like
all
like thinking so hard. What's it start with?
You must first master discipline itself.
I'm trying to remember myself.
The deserter. That's what it is. So it's the deserter. Because Zhong Zhong deserted the Fire Nation army.
Please,
I'm not about to let myself sit here and not get this right.
Are you deaf? How
so,
can I teach you if you refuse
throughout the
to
scene,
listen?
What were your thoughts when you said that Aang was too weak and then
water
his past avatar popped up and hushed him?
Man, it was crickets after Roku showed up. I love that moment. I literally love that moment because that moment is a reminder that the ability to be the Avatar is actually a part of the Avatar spirit. Like, it's not about the individual who is the Avatar. It's about the fact that they have the power and the capability within themselves, no matter what nation they're from or what their gender is. Like, I think it's so cool that we have male and female avatars. Avatars with disabilities. Like, it's not about the vessel. It's about what they have on the inside. And so, yeah, this part right here where he popped up and said, put some respect on my boy. Love that part.
Really?
And what about Legend of Korra?
The love of my life. I love Legend of Korra. And you know what? This might be a little controversial. I don't want anybody out there to come looking for me when I say this. As perfect as Avatar The Last Airbender is as a series, I think Legend of Korra is just slightly even better. Not that there's anything wrong with Avatar. It's perfect. And somehow Legend of Korra is even more perfect. Super underrated show. Everybody out there, please get past your nostalgia. Just allow yourself to try something new. She's not Aang. It's going to be different, and you're going to have to be okay with it. But it's so good.
Okay, so here we go with the fourth scene. Seems like you were struggling with the third scene of it, trying to remember the episode.
Yeah, I knew the episode, but I had to think of the title. I got there, though.
The only reason you should be interrupting me is if you have news about the Avatar.
Well, there is news, yep. Uncle, but you might not like it.
He says we have no idea where he is.
Uncle, you taught me that keeping a level head is a sign of a great leader. Now, whatever you have to say, I'm sure I can take it.
Okay, so then. This is when they're still looking for him. So it's book one. Is this the waterbending scroll?
Give me the map.
It is. I thought so. This is also a really good episode.
What was probably like your favorite part in this episode?
In this episode, this part.
No idea where you're going.
The fact that they think that Aang is like some master of evasion when they're literally lost.
Yeah.
I also really like the part where they fight the pirates in this episode. I think that part is just really funny. Mm. It's just another band of marauding villains that are just kind of bumbling around. They're funny. I like them.
Like for me, mine was the scene that just played, where he's over there like thinking that he's some mastermind, as you said, and then they were just lost, like just traveling like around the ocean and stuff, not knowing where to go.
Yeah, like you guys, this is a 12-year-old. Like he literally does not know what he's doing right now.
Okay, so here we go with the fifth scene. Let's see if you're able to figure this one out.
Hang on. Clearly a battle. This is the fight music. Oh, yes. This is Sokka's master. This is Sokka fighting Pian Dao. Mm-hmm. When Pian Dao finds out that Sokka's, well, he really knew the whole time. But,
really
you know,
know.
When Sokka confesses that he's from the water tribe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great one.
And what were your thoughts on the battle and everything when he was able to figure out where he was while the dust is in his eye?
That was crazy. I really love this battle, this Excellent scene works. That's playing right now, and I really love this episode because a really big part of Sokka's character up until this point, this episode is in book three, so it's toward the end of the series, and a big part of Sokka is he wants to prove himself as a warrior for his tribe and for his dad, and there's a little bit of like insecurity as well because he's not a bender, and so I really like this episode because it shows how capable you can be even if you aren't a bender, and it's finally kind of like that full circle moment for him where he has a male figure that really like validates him because obviously his dad was gone. He didn't really get that. So I loved that little healing moment for my boy Sokka.
I loved it. It as you said, like insecurities, because he did feel insecure at one point where he was like saying like for your sword and everything, and he felt like he wasn't ready. He felt like, oh, like I don't feel like I'm ready and all that. And he was like there in denial until he did this battle and stuff, which helped boost his confidence a little more.
Yeah, and showed him, like, hey, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you are a very effective warrior.
Yeah, like, when his father sees him and everything, like, you can see, like, his father was proud of him of everything that he's been through, especially being with the Avatar the whole time, all the battles and everything he had to deal with.
Yeah. Like, insane. Like, imagine being gone from your kid for 2 years, and then when you come back, you find out they've been literally going toe-to-toe with the world. It's like, what? I've been gone for 2 years.
Okay, so here we have the last one. This one you might recognize because it's kind of like a funny scene.
Okay.
I wouldn't say so funny, but...
You know what the worst part about being born over 100 years
ago
is?
Oh, yep. This is the Blue Spirit episode. One of my faves.
Before the war started.
Yes, so this is right after...
The two of us?
Zuko helped save Aang from Commander Zhao.
He was one of the best friends I ever had.
Aang is realizing that it was Zuko that saved him. So I really love this moment because Aang's trying to reach out and kind of like build that bridge with Zuko. Obviously, Zuko still has some things to work out in therapy right now. It's still book one. But I really like that because it's kind of foreshadowing what their relationship's going to be like in the beginning or at the end. I love that episode. I cannot wait to watch that in live action. Oh, my gosh.
So, talking about the preview from earlier, would you like to say, like, give, like, a little spoiler on anybody who hasn't seen it?
I don't want to spoil too much because I know I would be furious if someone spoiled it for me. But something that I will say is everybody, you need to expect changes. Changes in some of the writing, changes in some of the things that we do and don't see. I'll tell you this. Recently, the showrunner, Albert Kim, of the live-action version, said in an interview that they tried to make this live-action appeal more to, like, Game of Thrones fans. And he also said that Aang and the gang don't really go on all of their little fun adventures that we see in the cartoon. And a lot of fans were concerned about that. They're like, well, we don't want something super serious. We want it to be more lighthearted. And they were worried that the fun of the show was going to be gone. Y'all ain't got to worry about that. I'm letting you know right now. First of all, they are not playing when they said they made it more like Game of Thrones. I saw people get straight up murdered. Y'all, like, you will see the genocide of the Air Nomads happen. It is brutal. Like, verbal physical reactions is what my friends and I had. So that there, yeah, so expect some changes, expect some hardcore violence, but the essence of the show is still there. Mm. Like, it's all still there. They've just kind of interpreted it differently, you know? Mm. So that's what I'll say. It's different, but it's still really good.
Okay. So going back to the show, what are your top five episodes throughout the whole series, if you had to choose?
Top five throughout the whole series. Okay. Blue Spirit, definitely. Lake Laogai, definitely. The Boiling Rock Part 2, definitely. Because that is when Mei and Ty Lee betray Azula, which is like freaking gag of the century when that happens. I'm also going to go with Avatar Day, which is the one where Aang is accused of murdering Chin the Great. Kiyoshi is accused of that. I love Avatar Kiyoshi. And so that's like the only episode where we really get her personality. So I love that one. If I had to pick a fifth one, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to end up changing my answer. If I had to pick a fifth one, it would probs have to be, you know what? It's probably going to be the Winter Solstice Part 2 when we finally understand what the whole series is about. That's when Aang first contacts Avatar Roku, finds out about the comet, and it like lays out the whole plot for the rest of the series. And if you remember on that episode, Roku's spirit bodies all of those firebenders.
Bodies all the firebenders.
There. And the look on Zhao's face when Roku comes out of that temple, priceless. I love that episode.
I love that episode too. Sorry, I just had like a massive brain fart just now because of everything that's going on.
There's so much to talk about. It's a lot.
As the solstice that you said during those episodes, as they plot out the story, what were your thoughts like of the ending of the story, like towards the ending of it?
The ending of the winter solstice. I really liked those episodes because, like I said, it set up the plot for the whole rest of the series. It also is kind of like our first dose of the spirit world. That's the first time that we get to see like spirit creatures and understand like the differences between the physical world and the spirit world. So I really liked that episode, and I felt very satisfied at the end, the very first time I watched it, because I learned a lot about that universe. You know, like, the spirit world is a really big part of Avatar, especially in Legend of Korra. All you people out there, watch Legend of Korra. So I think those two episodes are really important because I think it does a lot of the world building for the rest of all of the Avatar content.
Okay. And what would be, like, your top five characters throughout the whole show?
Including Legend of Korra?
Including Legend of Korra.
Ooh. Okay. In no particular order. Top five characters. Wow. Okay. Korra, obviously. Love of my life. Love Korra. Varric from Legend of Korra is my favorite comedic relief character. He is literally so funny. Very underrated, but hilarious. Okay, we have Korra, we have Varric, two Water Tribe members so far. Zuko, that's my man. Been my man since I was in like sixth grade. I love Zuko. Toph. Toph is an icon, obviously. Ooh, I only have one left. This one's so difficult. Let me try to pick a villain. Who's my favorite villain? You know what? Ooh, I can't decide between Zaheer or Kuvira from Legend of Korra. That's another thing about Legend of Korra, y'all. Her villains were way more difficult than Aang's villains.
Compared to Aang, it was like 10 times more difficult for her.
Yeah, Aang was out here fighting kids and like people in their mid-40s. Korra was out here fighting whole dark demonic spirits.
And all that, and she got cut off from her past lives and everything, too.
Yes, like single-handedly with her bare hands bent a nuclear weapon. Like, come on, be for real. You know what? Ooh, my favorite villain, I think I'm going to have to go with Zaheer from Zaheer. Season 3 of Legend of Korra.
Okay, and why Zaheer?
Zaheer's a bad man, y'all. Okay, full disclosure, major spoilers I'm about to say right now for Legend of Korra. So, like, major. So if you have not watched it and plan on watching it, press mute right now. It was so interesting to have an evil airbender in Zaheer. Like, obviously, we've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. You're like, is this even allowed? Like, are airbenders even allowed to be mean? So it was so interesting seeing that. Because for me, I'm always thinking of, like, the social meaning of things and the deeper meaning. Mm-hmm. I think he shows how not everything is a monolith, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, not all Latinos are the same. Not all Black people are the same. And apparently not all airbenders are the same. And I just really respect him, and he was just brutal. I mean, the way that he took out the Earth Queen, goodness. Yeah, I got to give it to Zaheer.
Well, is there anything you would want to tell people if they wanted to go and watch Avatar for the first time?
Yes. First of all, if you have not watched it before, please watch it, you guys. I mean, it has everything you could possibly be looking for. If you want a show that's about found family, if you want a show that's about development and healing from your trauma in your past, if you want a show that has capable characters with disabilities whose characteristics are not centered around the fact that they're disabled, this is the show for you. Like, there's comedy, there's romance, there's drama, there's genocide, there's propaganda. It's everything. It's everything. Listen, y'all, it has 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes for a reason. And I'm going to leave it at that. If you don't believe me, then maybe you'll believe Rotten Tomatoes.
And do you have any last words?
Yep, I guess.
All right, then, guys. Well, this is the end of the first episode, and hopefully you guys have a nice day. And I thank so much to
Miss Winfrey. Thank you so much. This was fun.
I thank you so much for being a special guest, and I'll hope to see you guys soon.
Bye.